Good evening. It's 6 o'clock on Tuesday, November 1st, 2022. I hereby call to order the Planning Commission meeting for the City of Arroyo Grande. May we have a roll call, please?
Chair Martin?
Here.
Vice Chair Maravilla?
Here.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Here.
And Commissioner Guthrie?
Here.
Very good. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do have a fairly light agenda here tonight. Do either my fellow commissioners have a request to review or amend the agenda as it's been provided to us? Seeing none, we will accept the agenda as written and proceed. The next item on the agenda here, as typical with the Planning Commission, happens early in our meetings, is a public comment period, an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, suggestions, or comments on matters that are not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. Members of the public may provide public comment remotely by joining the Zoom meeting, utilizing one of the methods provided by the city. So at this point, if there's someone here that would like to make a comment or share anything with the Planning Commission on an item that is not agendized, those that are agendized, we will be addressing at the appropriate time later in the meeting. Seeing none, I'm wondering if there's anybody out there in the internet world that would like to join us. If I can get assistance on that invitation, please.
Yes, if any members of the public would like to make a comment on things not on the agenda, please raise your hand now in the Zoom. There are no raised hands, Commissioner.
Thank you very much. With no comments at this time, I will close the community comment period here at the beginning of this meeting, and we will move on to item six. Six is written communications that we didn't receive. At least I received a confirmation from staff on an email that was received. Are there any other later additions or communications that were provided to the city staff that we need to be made aware of?
There was one written communication regarding administrative approval item number one, which you all received. There were no additional.
Okay, thank you very much. On the consent agenda, we have two items. The first is item 7A, which is the approval of the minutes of our October 18th regular meeting. And the second one is consideration of a lot line adjustment 22-003 located at 688 Equestrian Drive. The applicant, Brian Childress, and represented by Mark Dacos. These are consent agenda items. I will make the motion to approve. I move to approve these two items. May I have a second, please?
Second.
Okay, are there any questions or comments? Okay, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Consent agenda is approved on a 4-0 vote. This next item is item 8, public hearing item. We have a single public hearing item tonight on the agenda. It is a consideration of appeal 22-002, appeal of a plot plan review 22-043 for the establishment of a vacation rental at 444 Walnut Street. The appellant is Janet Wood. And Mr. Holub, I believe you may have a brief presentation for us.
I do. Thank you, Chair Martin.
Excuse me. Okay, hold on. Before we start, I'm sorry.
I do have to step down on this. I'm within 500 feet of the project.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I'm sorry, Jim.
It's all right.
Completely forgot about you. Uh,
All right. So, again, thank you, Chair Martin. Tonight we'll be discussing an appeal that was filed by a member of the community. It's appeal case number 22-002 regarding an approval for a vacation rental at 444 Walnut Street. Here you can see the project is located in the single-family zoning district. It's located just at the corner of Palm Court and Walnut Street, just north of Farrell Avenue. It is a parcel developed with a 1,352-square-foot single-family home. It's a three-bedroom, two-bath home, and it's surrounded by residential uses, a mixture of both single and multifamily. So some background. In June of 2014, the city adopted Ordinance Number 663, which regulated short-term rentals. For anyone that's unaware, short-term rental can be two types, both vacation rentals and homestays. And a vacation rental in particular is defined as a structure which is being rented for less than 30 days without owner occupancy. So during the development of that ordinance, both the Planning Commission and the City Council discussed potential impacts related to these vacation rentals and homestays. At that point and during those meetings, they determined that the concerns could be addressed by the presence of a local contact person, and also felt that some of the issues they had heard were not dissimilar to those that could be related to long-term rentals. I also wanted to provide an update regarding the latest efforts the city has taken to revise that ordinance. On October 11th, the City Council adopted revisions to that ordinance. However, those have not yet taken effect. They will take effect in about 10 days on November 11th, but based on the timelines of this application, this particular project is not subject to any of the provisions of that new ordinance. So taking a look at this property's history, in particular with regard to the vacation rental, on September 13th this year, the Community Development Director approved an application to establish a vacation rental there. As per the municipal code, notices of approval were sent to all property owners owning property within 300 feet of that property. The notice included the emergency contact person's name and phone number, as well as information on how to appeal the project and how to contact community development staff. On September 20th, an appeal was filed, and that appeal cited a couple of different concerns, primarily the fact that there would be transient occupants coming and going from the rental, potential safety concerns, potential noise concerns, potential impacts to property values, as well as some documented criminal activity that's occurred at that property under previous ownership in the 1990s. In regards to performance standards, the performance standards ensure that vacation rentals conform to the existing character of the neighborhood and do not cause any undue impacts upon that neighborhood. So as I mentioned, one of those performance standards requires the applicant to provide a local contact person, and that person must be within a 15-minute drive of the property. That person has been identified as Kayla Chavez, and I included her number here. It will be published publicly, so if anybody would like to contact her and lives near the rental, they can do so. And as part of the review of this application, staff did determine that the application met all the required performance standards, specifically that any concerns related to past activity at the site are not relative to the current application, and also that the other concerns that were raised have been mitigated by the performance standards, primarily including the requirement to have an emergency contact person nearby. So this project was reviewed and determined to be categorically exempt from CEQA requirements because it is an existing facility. And lastly, staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the prepared resolution denying appeal case 22-002, approving plot plan review 22-043. We have the appellant here in person and the applicant on Zoom if you have any questions for them, but I'm happy to address your questions to begin.
Mr. Buchanan, do you have questions for staff on this item?
No, I don't have any questions. I think it's been laid out clear enough for me.
Okay. Ms. Maravilla, do you have questions for staff?
No, I don't have any questions either.
Nor do I. I'm going to give the opportunity for the applicant to come up, or the appellant to come up and speak.
That would be you, Janet, if you want to come up and join us at the dais.
I kind of feel bad bringing y'all out here for, I was supposed to have more people here, but many people on our street are elderly, and they're the ones that signed the petition. I'm sure you saw that. And you pretty much laid out everything I have to say, but I'll repeat it. I'm representing many residents of Walnut Street and Palm Court. My concerns are from two experiences. One of them has to do with the past. Most of us in this neighborhood are still traumatized by the transient group that lived or frequented 444 Walnut Street in the mid-90s with structural violations, parties, drugs, and a killing. I had a news camera crew from Santa Barbara in my yard that day. Combined with a lack of quiet enjoyment and safety, neither the Aurora Grande Police Department nor the city had the ability to correct these issues during these many years. It only ended when the house was foreclosed. Mrs. DePhillips at 453 Walnut Street was unable to attend due to her age and asked me to specifically address her concerns as a widow that cannot protect herself, nor does she want to experience any of this behavior again. The second reason I'm here is in my business of managing homeowner associations, it's my job to correct any owner that enacts a short-term rental unless the documents for that association states otherwise. The minimum stay is 30 days. As a result, I get the late-night calls of parties, noise, and lack of consideration that often accompany this short-term rental activity. Unknown visitors don't always allow our right to a quiet and safe place to live. We encourage the Aurora Grande Planning Department to consider the fears of many as opposed to the financial gains of the owner and city. And that comes from all the neighbors.
Thank you very much. You. Mr. Buchanan, do you have any questions for the appellant?
No, I don't.
Okay. Ms. Mervilia?
No, I don't either. No,
nor do I. I'm wondering if the applicant, give the applicant an opportunity to speak at this point.
Yes, I believe that's, is that Andrew?
Yeah, that's me. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for having us here. We are not local, so we were not able to join in person. But I think I would just like to say that we would like this opportunity to use this house as a short-term rental, because our purpose is not just to earn the income from the short-term rental. We want to use the house for family, and we cannot do it if we put it for a long-term rental. We live in Bay Area, and our goal is to spend family time with our two kids and a small dog in the area, because we love that community. We have been coming there like every year, and we would like that opportunity to use our own house whenever we are in the town, but that would give us flexibility to put it in rental when we are not.
And as far as the concerns for the 90s, so this is Ritesh, Anju's husband. I'm not sure because those were under previous ownership and the ownership has changed. And I believe all of us have been doing short-term rentals in our life, and it's not that everybody is a problem when we do a short-term rental. There would be cases here and there, but that's part of being a neighbor. Even a neighbor, permanent neighbor, could be a problem as well.
And that's why we are hiring a local property management company who will be available 24 hours to respond to any complaints or any noise issues. We understand that it's a quiet neighborhood. We were there a couple of times earlier this year, and we appreciate that it's a quiet neighborhood, and that's why we are going with a local management company to manage so that they can be there like in a quick time if there are like any complaints by the neighbors in future. I think that's it. Thank you so
okay.
much for your time, everyone.
Yeah, very good. I appreciate your comments. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on this particular item? Yeah, please come up to the podium and introduce yourself. Thank you.
My name is Derek Johnson. I live at 469 Walnut Street, just across the street from the property in 444 Walnut. I would like to speak in opposition of the license as well. I have a two-year-old son. There's neighbors down the Con Street that have young children as well. Now, I can't speak to the crime that was instituted there in the 1990s because I wasn't there at the time, but when we think about the community that we're building here and the young families, especially in our neighborhood, I don't see a short-term rental fitting into that landscape at all. Now, I know the Planning Department and the Planning Commission's objective is to further the economic well-being of our community, but it's also furthering the housing affordability and availability to young families like myself in this area. There's 84 current vacation rentals listed on Rug Grande alone. I know you guys are capping it at 90. That's 90 homes I see that could go to local residents and workers that are now having to commute from Santa Maria and Pomo. I have people I know that commute from over the grade just to get down here to Rio Grande to find affordable housing. This short-term rental is doing nothing but exacerbating that issue and making it even worse. So that's my two cents.
Very good. Thank you very much. I'm wondering if there's anybody that is not here in the audience but is participating on Zoom that might have an interest in making a comment on this item.
There's nobody else in the channel other than the than Andrew.
Very good. Thank you very much. I'm going to close the public hearing aspect of this item, return it to the commission. Mr. Buchanan, do you have any closing comments before I ask for a motion on this particular item?
Sure. I'd just like to say I empathize with the concerns, particularly around the purpose that short-term rentals serve or don't serve to our community housing-wise. But as written in the current policy, it doesn't appear to be in violation of any part of that policy. So I would just encourage the neighbors to reach out to the owners or property manager and vice versa, and hopefully come to an agreement on some established expectations here. Those are my only comments.
Very good. Thank you. Ms. Maravilia?
Commissioner Buchanan kind of said exactly what I was going to say as well. I share your concerns and I share your thoughts and feelings towards vacation rentals, but this is following the ordinance. The ordinance was put in place, and you know, when things come before us that follow what the laws of our city are, we do have to follow them. I highly recommend what Commissioner Buchanan said of working with the property owners and trying to establish, you know, rules that you guys can get behind, making sure that you're contacting the people that they have you to contact, as well as contacting the city if issues do arise, so it's on record. And going from there.
The only thing that I will, a couple of things that I will add, I certainly agree with what Mr. Buchanan, what Ms. Maravilli had to say. It is a delicate balance and at times a tough balance. We live in a community that is encouraging visitors. We are a vacation destination. We may not be Pismo Beach, but we certainly do have opportunities here for visitors and encourage visitors to come. So there's a balancing act in how we approach short-term vacation rentals. As everybody pretty much knows very well, the City Council has recently updated the number and the criteria for short-term rentals in our community. I take satisfaction in knowing that that number for the city of Rio Grande is significantly lower than it is from the neighboring communities. So at some level, I think that's an appropriate number, as modest as it really is, you know, for, you know, permitted vacation rentals. I totally agree with the issue of finding affordable long-term housing, whether it's under homeownership or under a rental contract. It's a difficult balancing act in order to, you know, serve the bigger long-term needs of the community. As a reminder, the postcard you received is at this point the only notice you're going to receive from the city concerning this vacation rental in your neighborhood. There is a phone number and a contact phone number on there. If there are issues, the one thing that I take satisfaction in is that if issues do arise, there's a phone number there at your fingertips, and please don't lose it. It was provided again tonight. The entire list of vacation rental contacts is available on the city website. And do not be afraid to contact those people in order to retain the quiet enjoyment that you're become accustomed to in your neighborhood. And that's the reason that it's there. If there are issues around compliance, please contact the city. We've have 80 or 90, whatever that number is going to end up being by the time we're done. In reality, over the past several years, there have been very, very few issues and problems that have not been resolved with an initial phone call to the appropriate contact and the appropriate property manager. With that being said, I also agree that this is in compliance with the rules and the guidelines. And I have a vacation rental directly across the street from my house, and we've yet to have a problem in the several months that it's been operating. I'm not saying that it can't happen or it'll never happen, but I think from practical experience in our community, the chances of that happening are really fairly low. And I'm confident that issues that arise will be handled by the property owner, their management company, and the neighbors. With that, I'll entertain a motion. I'll make the motion to approve the resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Rio Grande denying appeal case 22-002 and approving the plot plan review case 22043 located at 444 Walnut Street. May I have a second?
I'll second.
And a roll call vote, please.
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Maravilla?
Yes.
And Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Very good. That passes 3-0. I appreciate you coming and, keep in contact if issues arise.
Can I ask where the property manager company is or how we can find
it? It's in that postcard. If not, I would talk to staff after the meeting or go and contact them because that's the mechanism by which you can really do that. But if you recall receiving a postcard, on that postcard, it'll have the name and the phone number of the contact person. You didn't get a postcard?
I was a letter about this meeting.
That's all I got, too.
Well, my recommendation is to deal with staff after the meeting or call staff during the regular business hours. Because typically what happens is that...
Is it our burden to carry that though? I mean, isn't that a procedure that's supposed to be done by the city? Are we supposed to follow up on that?
The procedure is on the application. The applicant and the city send out a postcard to the people that are within 300 feet of the residence.
But if we never got it, does that become my burden to follow up and get that?
At this point, I'm...
I'm just asking.
Yeah, it probably is. And here again, if you live within 300 feet of the residence and didn't receive a postcard, that I can't answer. And I'm not really sure exactly what happened on there.
Is it after it's approved? I don't know.
So,
thank you.
But so you did you? I'm curious.
I got the letter.
Did the letter come from the city that this was being appealed, or did the letter come from the neighbors, from Janet and the neighbors saying, hey, we have an issue here that we want to appeal?
No, it's from the city.
So, okay. Then if I can just request, I'll make the request later again. But, let's make sure we're looking at the procedure that we have to confirm that. If these people live within the 300 feet, that their address was included on that initial postcard, and if it wasn't, let's make sure we're diligent in doing that because that's an important part, critically important part of that process. Okay, that's it for that item. It's a little bit out of order, but we got an informal enough process here that I'm happy to. Hopefully, I answered your question or was able to address it. Mr. Guthrie, do you want to return to the meeting? We'll take a 30-second. Very good. Welcome back. Item 9 are non-public hearing items, none of which we have on tonight's agenda. The next is item 10, the notice of administrative items. And tonight there are 4 items on the administrative list. I'm wondering if any of my fellow commissioners have any questions or comments for staff on any of these items.
I just have a
question. Oh. Go ahead.
Sorry. I just had a question about the supplemental information that we got. If the CC&R kind of doesn't allow for this, is that something that they take up with the city, or do they take that up with their individual boards?
Because it's a private agreement that the city is not a party to, they will need to deal with that directly with their HOA.
Great. Thank you.
That was my question as well.
Oh, yeah. And I have a question along that same line. If there are conditions on a project that get recorded in the county, and the CC&Rs is another recorded document in the county, are we just flat out just not allowed to evaluate the CC&Rs? I mean, I would not be against pulling this item and having it, reviewed, or appealed, by the commission itself, given the nature of it. And if nothing more, maybe giving the applicant an opportunity to withdraw the application. I'd rather just say, no, there's nothing we can do. Go call your attorneys, to get this resolved. And not that it's my job for them to find an attorney, but by delaying it at this point or putting this off and putting it onto our appeal calendar for the next meeting, providing a window period of time for the appellant and the applicant, to review that document on their own and come to the appropriate decision, I think, is probably what I'm really trying to ask. What's our legal liability or lack thereof if we choose to appeal this item or pull it from the administrative list?
I don't think you're creating any liability by appealing it. Once we get to scheduling that appeal hearing, we'll talk about the actual merits of the appeal, and at that point, we'll have more information for you on that.
Okay.
Our understanding is that because these are private restrictions and that the city does not review the content of them, we do not enforce them. So we do sometimes require them by condition of approval that they exist, but we don't actually ever approve, deny, or review the content that's inside of them.
Sometimes, yeah, and just to add on to that, sometimes the CC&Rs will include conditions of approval from the permit that the city required, but those are enforced by the city because they're on the permit itself, not because they're in the CC&Rs. But the homeowners association or whoever creates the CC&Rs may choose to add those conditions into the CC&Rs. But they also may have a whole bunch of other things that
certainly
we don't enforce.
Certainly. And I understand that. I just, for me, I may need to get educated, and maybe it's a conversation with the city attorney or some other appropriate person. I just, it's tough for me just to turn around and say, pretend the HOA or pretend the CC&Rs don't exist as we evaluate and make decisions and stuff like that. I just, in my reading of the CC&Rs, I would hope and expect that the applicant would reevaluate their application. I'm not saying that they have to abandon it, but I would hope that they would go back and look and come to their own conclusion, own decision how to do that. But that doesn't mean I'm the end all in this conversation at all. Do you have any?
I was going to say, don't let the public speak, but I do have question along those lines.
I'll open this up to the public. Let's just do that now, and then we can, after the public speaks, we can come back. You're going to open up the public comment period on this is on any of the administrative items. You may only have one that you wish to speak on, and you're welcome to speak on that one. Please introduce yourself. You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
My name is John Kramer. I'm president of the Vista Del Mar Homeowners Association. We just discovered on this application yesterday. I will quickly review various items. I come up with exactly your same feelings that under the regulation, it states in the section under performance standards, the last sentence on number 2 says that use shall be harmonious and compatible with existing uses with the neighborhood, which brings us into play with our CC&Rs, is what you're talking about. Our CC&R on section L say the respective lot shall not be rented by the owners thereof for transient purposes, which shall be defined in rental less than 30 days. So our CCNRs would allow that. The applicant should have came to the homeowners first to find out if this was an applicable thing. I believe with our two organizations, one with your ordinance, with our CCNRs, this is based where it both ones are conflicting with this item, and they should be denied or taken off the agenda, or she should pull it from that agenda.
Okay.
I have it all.
Sure, yeah, please don't leave yet. Mr. Guthrie may have a question for you.
So do you guys have an actual association with the board that's elected and all? Okay, that's just what I wanted to verify.
I've been president way too long.
The only way out's a garden.
Is this the same copy of what was emailed to the city? Okay, very good. Very good.
I have a question for staff.
Pardon?
I have a question for
sure. Go ahead.
Okay, so I want to follow up. So when you say there are items in the CCNRs that we do enforce because they're part of the permit, how? Because I know many times we've had things included in the CCNRs that are requested and put in there specifically to satisfy concerns in usually at this point it's a developer, that they include in the CCNRs to protect the neighborhood or to do, and again, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that was not, you know, that I'll call as boilerplate, but they are included when we do the final deal. The CCNRs are in front of us when we vote for it. So I'm wondering how you determine which things you enforce and which things you don't. And if that's getting beyond what you're comfortable with in this discussion, that maybe it has to take place in a discussion in appeal, that's fine too. But as best as you can answer that question now, that'd be great.
Yeah, so typically the items that are in CCNRs that we would review or require are related to common maintenance. So whether that's common driveways, stormwater infrastructure, any private infrastructure that benefits multiple properties that needs to be maintained to ensure that it works. So if there is a condition of approval that's generated for a project that requires such an item in a CCNR document, we will review that specific section of the CCNRs that specifically mentions that function that we need to require. But we will not look at other sections of CCNRs with regard to their content. Our city attorney has been pretty clear that we don't have the ability to do that and shouldn't be approving CCNRs in general. We'll make sure that certain portions of language and things are in those CCNRs, but in general, we don't look at the whole document.
And was the applicant informed that he should check his CCNRs to verify that it's okay to do that at the time he made the application?
We did not have that discussion with the applicant at the time of application. I did have a discussion with them earlier today. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they have discussions with their HOA at this point. And one of the options they have is to withdraw their application. But I'm not sure exactly what their plans are at this point.
Okay.
My time's up. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Excuse me. If you're going to speak, I do need you to come back so it can become part of that public record, if you don't mind.
That's John Kramer again.
Yes.
When I read through the rules of the whatever it is on the vacation rental, it doesn't specifically ask if there is CCNRs in your residence, and that should be part of the city's part of the application. Is there CCNRs? Because there's lots of CCNRs around the whole area, so I would think that should be added to that, so that the applicant doesn't have to go through the process without knowing that they got to go CCNRs. So just a comment.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Okay, so one more question for staff. So when we are doing the noticing and there is an existing board for an HOA, do we inform the board as well as the 300-foot rule?
Assuming they would only be notified if they own a piece of property. So in this particular case, that HOA does own an open space parcel, so they're within 300 feet and are therefore notified. In other situations where you have a HOA that doesn't own a common area parcel, it may not be that the HOA is specifically notified.
Okay.
Unless a member of the board lives within that 300-foot perimeter.
Or it's reported.
Exactly, or somehow other way becomes aware.
Or a neighbor, someone from the community, the neighborhood, whatever, brings it to the attention of the board, that HOA board.
Well, if there is a CCNR situation, it should go to the CCCR address to whoever management company or whatever.
Right, but
to that.
And I globally, I agree with you. It does become tough if there is a neighborhood that, at the time of its initial development, does not have an HOA. Subsequent to that, a more formal or more active HOA comes into existence. The city may not be aware of that, and it's difficult for the city to be notifying agencies or organizations that they're not formally, you know, aware of. That's more of a hypothetical general comment than on this specific item. But
that's why it should have. Is your house under a CCNR?
Well, there's a lot that we could and probably should, you know, in our little community to clarify and to make the city ordinances, you know, that much longer and, you know, perhaps more specific at times.
I have one more question.
Go ahead. I'll give you one last opportunity. But
if this got to go to appeal,
yes.
Then how do I find that out? Or how, if she doesn't pull it, or you only have 7 days, as far as I know, in this particular case. So.
I spoke with Christina at the Management Trust earlier today, and her intention was to see the outcome of tonight's meeting, and then we were going to talk with one another tomorrow, and I was going to give her instructions on how to file an appeal.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. I have a couple of questions on a couple of the other items, but I would like them to come back and talk about this one last time. On item number two, is this location currently on our homestay list? And I believe it is. And I'm wondering what happens to the homestay status. It may be something that hasn't been defined in our ordinance, but I have a tough time believing that a single physical location can be registered, should be registered as both a homestay and a vacation rental.
It is registered as a homestay. And there's nothing that we're aware of in our code that prevents you from having both. In fact, there are several members of this community that do have both. And I think primarily is meant to allow for flexibility. Primarily, you may rent the unit as a homestay, but you go out of town for 3-4 weeks a year and you want to still rent it during that time frame. It allows people to use it in two different configurations whilst being consistent with the regulations that are in place.
So it may have been unique to me, but if I had gone back and cross-checked the homestay list with a vacation rental list, there already is a crossover and a number of other properties within the community?
Yes, you'll find at least two that I'm aware of. There may be others.
Okay. Thank you for the education and the information. On item number three, in looking at the property, are there parking issues at this particular location? Because it seems to me this is a vacation rental in a multifamily zoning area. And we had one several months back, or because of the nature and the layout of the driveway and separate parking areas versus common parking areas, it became kind of an issue. And I'm wondering how the parking issues, if there are parking issues, or how they may have been addressed on this particular item.
Due to the fact that the existing ordinance does not have a parking requirement for vacation rentals, a parking location was not required to be provided.
Okay.
We understand that particular location is maybe more impacted than others, but based on the existing ordinance, felt that it met all the required performance standards for approval.
Okay, so the current ordinance is silent, basically, on parking requirements for vacation rentals.
Yeah, and if you recall, the city council, based on some of your recommendations, did institute a parking requirement moving forward for vacation rentals.
For a new vacation rental. That was going to be my next question. Were we doing it right when it came through again and doing it? I would like to pull item number one and have it appealed at a future meeting. And so what's the...
Okay, I did a follow-up question.
Do you have another question as well?
I just wanted to follow up. So if you have a vacation rental and you choose to occupy the home while you're renting it as well, essentially a homestead, would that be a violation of your vacation rental? It just doesn't... I can see where a homestead can't be a vacation rental, but I can't see where a vacation rental can't be a homestead.
We did a little bit of work during the update to kind of clarify that, but with the existing ordinance, it appears that you could not occupy your home while operating a vacation rental, which seems a little silly, but that is sort of how the definitions are made.
Okay, so this does, I'm going to say, TKO both a vacation rental and a homestay in this neighborhood.
Even if they hadn't been approved for this vacation rental, the homestay would, because the 500-foot buffer applies to all rental types and in all directions. So them receiving approval for a vacation rental doesn't preclude anyone else than it already did.
Okay. And then following up on the question about parking here. So I know in the new rules will be a PUD, which you could do a vacation rental in a, or I think a homestay in a PUD. Is this particular one, is this a PUD as well as a multifamily?
Not to my knowledge. I believe these are just your traditional multifamily twin homes.
Okay. Thank you.
And so what's my process? Do I need to have a motion in order to formally request, I guess, that this thing gets appealed? Is that how that goes? And then I move to place item number one, the plot plan review 22-058, the establishment of a vacation rental on an existing single-family residence at 509 North Via Belmonte, appealed by the, you know, agendized and appealed, brought for appeal before the Planning Commission at the next possible date, you know, whether that's 2 weeks or longer, depending on how that agenda is you know, being prepared. Is that enough?
That is enough. Just based on timelines, it won't be later this month. It'll likely be in December or thereafter, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you can seek a second, that'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Buchanan, I'm going to reach out to you first. You're not here in present, so it's easy to forget that you are participating in this meeting. Do you have questions or comments that you would like to add?
No, I don't, but thanks for checking.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments?
Do we need a basis for the appeal? I just remember when I appealed one the other day, we had to have a basis. So do you want that in the motion, that it's, I assume, based on the fact that the CCNRs?
Yeah, if you can include a basis on that, that'd be great.
Except that is a friendly amendment.
Yeah. I'm happy to amend my motion to, you know, specifically include review of the CCNRs on this project, and if, you know, in this appeal process.
And I'll second the amended motion.
Okay. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Vice Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
And Commissioner Guthrie?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. That passes 4-0. And before we proceed, just as a comment request, if it is so desired or recommended by staff that the city attorney weigh in on this, it might be appropriate to have a representative from the city attorney's office present at that meeting to help educate myself, my fellow commissioners in the community on this issue specifically for this property, and perhaps even more globally on CCNRs and how we need to approach them, if that's appropriate.
Yes, and we'll discuss that, and if that's not available, then we'll certainly be talking with the city attorney about the aspects of this case.
Sure. Yeah, our goal is to get it done right, absolutely. So very good. Thank you. Okay. With that being said, I'm going to go on to item 11, commission communications. Are there any comments from my fellow commissioners tonight before we continue?
So I'm just wondering, are we still on par for the 96 total vacation rentals, or whatever number it was?
Yeah, it's not going to be any higher than that. Okay. These are the last four that will be reported under the existing ordinance, and so I believe the number is 95, but it could be 96 now. You're quite making me question that. So it's right. It's either 95 or 96.
Just whatever was communicated at the council meeting. Thank you.
Ms. Maravilla, any other comments?
No.
Mr. Buchanan, any other comments?
No, nothing from me.
Great, thank you. The only thing that I have to say is to reach out to the community. However many may or may not be listening or may not listen to this recording after tonight's meeting, please, Tuesday, November 8th is Election Day. If you have not voted by mail or prior to that day, please do your very, very best to get out and execute your right to vote in our community and in our country. Staff communications.
Community Development Director Brian Pedrotti. I think the only thing that we're going to just throw out there is that the Tiny Homes on Wheels ordinance was introduced in October to the City Council, and it's slated for adoption in November. So just kind of give a status update on that.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else? Since the room has vacated with everyone other than staff and the commissioners, I hereby adjourn this meeting, 6:44. It is Tuesday, November 1st. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good evening.